hope, anger, excitement, resignation. There was a baby, and it was real. And the fact that she could see the heartbeat meant that she was way more than 2 weeks along. The baby was Chad's. Tears continued to pool in her hair. She clutched her hands together and wondered what on earth she was going to do now. 40 minutes later, she was dressed and in her doctor's office. "I'm sorry," Dr. Heron said with a sigh. "We have several patients affected by this problem, and 3 of them are pregnant." Her expression was kind. "I know you weren't expecting this. You're still early along. We can certainly terminate the pregnancy with no problem. I can do it this afternoon." Zoe blinked. An abortion, of course, because she hadn't planned on this happening. In fact, she'd taken steps to prevent it. She was firmly pro-choice. This was her right. "I'm having the baby," she said. The words were involuntary, but she couldn't seem to call them back. "I wasn't expecting this, and I'm not with the father, and it's a mess, but I'll carry him or her to term." After that, she was less sure. Adoption was an option, or she could raise her baby herself. Only that meant being involved with Chad. He might be a lousy boyfriend, but he was a really attentive father. But geez, Chad. Her doctor nodded. "That's entirely up to you. Based on the dates you've given us and the ultrasound, you still have a few weeks to change your mind. In the meantime, let's talk about how to have a healthy, happy pregnancy." Zoe drove home with piles of papers and pamphlets. She was going to have to change her diet, give up alcohol and caffeine, get more rest, start exercising regularly, and basically live life as her baby's vessel. Her head hurt and her stomach threatened trouble. None of this was fair, she thought. None of it was right. She'd done nothing wrong. Okay, yes, she'd had stupid sex with her ex, but was she supposed to pay for that for the rest of her life? When she got home, she found Mason sleeping on her bed in a patch of sun. She picked him up and held him close. For once, he didn't squirm to get away. She breathed in the scent of his fur and listened to the soothing sound of his purring. "I'm pregnant," she told him. His green-eyed stare wasn't the least bit judgmental. Still fighting tears, she walked over to her computer and logged on. She searched, "I want to give up my baby for adoption." 20 minutes later, she had a working knowledge of what was required and knew there was no way she could do it. She might not have planned this, but she was perfectly capable of having a baby on her own. She had a good job, supportive friends and family. As for Chad, well, she couldn't think about that right now. Her cell rang. She looked at the screen and didn't recognize the number. "Hello? Zoe Saldivar?" "Yes? I'm calling to see if you'd be available to substitute teach tomorrow. It's a 5th grade class." The question was so incongruous when compared with what she'd been dealing with. Substitute teach? How could she? She was about to say no when she realized that pregnancy wasn't the end of the world. Life still went on. It might not be as she expected, but either she moved forward or she stayed stuck. "Yes, of course. Happy to." "Good. I'll email you the information right now." Felia's daughter, Marta, was nearly 10 and just as pretty as her mother. She smiled shyly at Pam, then took her book over to a corner chair and started to read. "I'm sorry," Felia said for the 3rd time. "My sister looks after her, but she's sick." "Don't worry about it," Pam told her. "This won't take long." Felia had come through with a business plan to expand her salon. Pam had already reviewed it and had been pleased to see it was realistic and detailed. Felia had a firm grasp on the amount of startup capital she would need, as well as the time it could take to build a loyal client base. They discussed the plan, and Felia showed Pam the worksheets that supported her numbers. "How long until you have to give your landlord a commitment?" Pam asked. She knew that Felia wanted to rent the space next to her nail salon. 6 weeks. He hasn't heard from the current tenant yet, but I know he plans to vacate." Felia put her hands on the table. "I can do this. I know I can. I feel it inside. I'll work hard. I'll work every day. This is my dream, and I want to make it happen." Pam wanted that for her as well. "Then let's do that. I've got a few notes for you on your plan, places to add a little more information. I've also brought along some bank applications. These are for two banks we've worked with before. They are very supportive of local businesses. When you're ready to make an appointment, let me know. I want to come with you. Pam handed over two business cards. I've worked with both of these people before. If things don't work out there, we can try the Mischief Bay Credit Union. You'd be pushing the upper limit of their business loans, which is why I don't want to start there. She was also going to talk to B about some of the angel funds they had access to. Angel funds were a group of private investors who offered low-interest loans or even grants to new businesses. Tech was hot right now and getting most of the attention, but Pam thought she might be able to swing a little cash Felia's way if necessary. "I'll get these finished this week," Felia promised. "Then I'll call you so we can schedule before your trip." "Excellent. I look forward to it." Pam watched Felia and her daughter leave the offices of MWF. She might not be saving the world with her volunteer work, but she liked to think she was making a small difference. Each action was like ripples in a pond, or so she told herself. Now, if only little Jack would start talking and Zoe and Stephen would get serious, her life would be perfect. Zoe parked in the Mischief Bay Elementary School parking lot and told herself everything was fine. She was doing great. The lack of sleep meant nothing. She would get by on grit. Maybe if she could have gulped down a couple of cups of coffee, she would have felt better, but that wasn't possible. She was going to have to will her way to alertness. At least her caffeine headache had gone away the previous day. That was something. She collected the tote that held her purse, her lunch, and some ideas for what she could do with her class. Told her stomach to calm down, and got out to face her first day of substitute teaching. Even as she walked purposefully, she felt the nerves running up and down her body. There was a slight tremor she was going to ignore, and a pressing need to burst into tears. She didn't know how much the latter was because of hormones, and how much was about terror, and she wasn't sure it really mattered. Later, when she had her sense of humor back, she would think about the really sucky timing of all this. Getting her first teaching gig literally the day after she found out she was pregnant with her ex-boyfriend's baby, and laugh. But today was not that day. She made her way to the administration office, signed in, and was escorted to her class. On the way, the office secretary told her about lunch, where the teacher's break room was, the teacher's bathroom, and a bunch of other information that simply flowed in one ear and out the other. "Sandy Russell, across the hall, also teaches fifth grade. Ask her anything." They stopped in front of an open classroom door. This was it, Zoe thought in disbelief. She'd really done it. She was expected to be a substitute teacher for the whole day, to a room full of fifth graders she'd never met. What had she been thinking? She knew nothing about the primary grades. That was Jen's department. Zoe had always taught middle school. She knew what to do with a snarky 13-year-old girl. How different were they at 10? She hadn't been 10 in a really long time. Things had probably changed. She doubted a single girl in her class had a Spice Girls doll in her closet. The secretary was still talking. Zoe did her best to tune in and gave up and just smiled until there was silence. "That's a lot to take in," she murmured, hoping it was a somewhat appropriate comment. The other woman laughed. "You'll get it. I'm in the office if things get really bad. Have fun." Uh-huh. Because that was so very likely. Zoe stepped into the room. It was big with windows along one wall. There were, she counted, 28 desks. That wasn't so bad. She had a list for roll call, a schedule for the day, and somewhere in this room was the mythical sub-tub, the place where she would find lesson plans and ideas, notes on what to expect, and how to control the class. She located the tub in a back closet, but when she opened it, there was nothing inside except for three DVDs, Sky High, Escape to Witch Mountain, and Mulan. Zoe went cold. No, no, no. There had to be more than that. Everything she'd read online said that the regular teacher always left a tub filled with information and ideas and things to do and... She looked back in the closet. But there wasn't a second tub, or a box, or anything. She searched the desk up front. It was mostly empty. She had an entire day with kids she didn't know and nothing but three movies? They were kids' movies. They weren't even 2 hours long. She was just about to bolt when the first of her students arrived. Three boys walked in together. They took one look at her and grinned, but not in a happy way, more as a challenge or a promise. She swallowed. Hi, I'm Miss Saldivar.
That's a stupid name, one of the boys said.
His friends laughed. Zoe felt herself flush. She looked away so they couldn't see and told herself they were testing her and winning. She greeted the rest of the students, wrote her name on the blackboard, and then called roll. She stumbled through more than one pronunciation before that task was finally done, then glanced at the clock. It was 8:40. She had the students until 3. Even with lunch and 2 recesses, that was still nearly 6 hours.
I don't have a lesson plan, she said with what she hoped was a friendly smile. Who wants to tell me what you were studying? And if you could say your name too, that would be great.
One of the first boys to arrive waved his hand. As no one else did the same, she was forced to point at him.
Math, he said with a wicked grin. I'm Cameron.
How incredibly helpful.
What kind of math? The one with numbers.
Several students laughed. A couple of the girls rolled their eyes. One of the girls raised her hand.
I'm Megan. We're working on fractions, adding fractions with unlike denominators.
No, we're not, Cameron said. No one needs to know that.
We can learn it now or learn it later. It's not like they're going to change what we need to know to graduate out of 5th grade just because we have a substitute.
You don't know that, Cameron told her.
Of course I do. Everyone does.
Cameron's friends started yelling. Megan's friends joined in, and soon the whole class was arguing about whether or not the material was necessary. Zoe called for attention and was ignored by all of them. She walked to the front of the room and started counting. When she reached 20, someone asked what she was doing.
Figuring out how long you're going to have to wait after the bell rings for recess until you can leave, she said sweetly. Bad behavior adds time. Good behavior subtracts it.
The room went silent. Zoe asked about other subjects and got a general idea of what was going on, but she had no material herself. She figured she could fake her way through a lot of things, but fractions wasn't one of them. A little after 9, she surrendered to the inevitable and put on Sky High. When the recess bell rang, the students surprised her by waiting the 15 seconds they had on the board before racing out of the room. Zoe stared at the empty desks and told herself that feeling like a failure wasn't the same as being a failure, even if the subtleties of that statement eluded her at the moment.
Hi, I'm Sandy Russell,
a petite 40-something redhead said as she walked into the classroom. How's it going?
Not that great. I don't have a lesson plan or anything.
Sandy nodded knowingly.
You're subbing for a new teacher. I've told her she's got to get her sub tub together, but she's scrambling still. Let me guess, movies?
We're watching Sky High.
Want to be doing something else?
I would love to be doing nearly anything else.
Sandy laughed.
You're smart to qualify that statement.
Give me 5 seconds. I'll be right back.
Sandy returned as promised. She carried a huge plastic tub over to the desk and opened it.
There are a lot of good games in here. Right now, we're really working on our vocabulary, so I would say to focus on that.
She pulled several folders, blocks, and smaller boxes out of the bin.
Here you go.
Zoe took the stack of cards along with a clear plastic bag filled with bean bags. The cards had a word on one side and a definition on the other.
Like a bean bag toss, she said. This is great.
Together, she and Sandy went through the other options. Zoe borrowed a couple of folders with different ideas in them.
I appreciate the help, she said sincerely. I was dying.
Sandy shook her head.
Don't worry about it. I know it's hard to step in, especially this far into the school year. Routines are set, and while the kids say they like a play day, they really miss their regular schedule.
I'll return everything at the end of the day, Zoe promised. By the time her students were back from recess, she'd moved all the desks and set out the vocabulary cards. Some showed the word, others showed the definition. She divided the students into teams, and they took turns tossing the vocabulary words. She put down a second set, and they had another round. Time passed quickly, and before she knew it, they were heading off to lunch. She used that time to write a series of fraction equations on the board, and then covered them with large sheets of paper. She had a few minutes to wolf down her sandwich and grab some water before the kids were back. This time, she let them pick their own teams. They rotated through the various fraction stations, and when that was done, she totaled up the points. Silly prizes from Sandy's tub were awards. There were stickers proclaiming things like most awesome and totally great. She finished up the day by having her students pull pieces of paper from a bowl. On it was a topic. They had to talk on it for 3 minutes. Subjects ranged from favorite pets to would you rather have a baby brother or sister. There was lots of laughing and starting over, but everyone had fun and the afternoon flew by. When the final bell rang, Zoe knew more than half the kids' names and had managed to go several hours without Cameron making a smart-aleck remark. Two things she considered a victory. She stood by the door and thanked each student for helping her out that day. Cameron stopped in front of her.
"I'm sorry I was a butthead before. You're a really good teacher. I hope we get you again."
"Thank you, Cameron. Best not to say the B word." He flashed her a grin.
"Hey, I have a reputation I have to worry about."
She laughed, not sure if he was going to turn into a professional criminal when he grew up or run for elected office. By 3:15, she'd returned Sandy's sub tub to her and thanked her another 14 times. By 3:30, her room was clean and she was signing out of the school. It was only after she got in her car that she realized how incredibly exhausted she was. She hurt from her head to her toes. Her feet ached, her back was sore, and there was a throbbing just behind her eyes. First thing in the morning, she was going to send Sandy Russell thank you flowers. The second thing she was going to do was spend some quality time online, looking at activities to do with children of various ages. She couldn't count on being rescued again, which meant if she was going to continue substitute teaching, she needed her own sub-tub. Mason greeted her with several pointed meows, as if explaining he wasn't used to her being gone all day, and he really didn't like it. She sank to the floor and pulled him close. His soft purr eased the tension in her chest. She desperately wanted a glass of wine, she thought, wondering what she had in her pantry, a nice Merlot or a margarita. Did she have limes? She was about to go investigate when she suddenly remembered there would be no drinking for her, because she was pregnant with Chad's baby. Pregnant! Her! Reality crashed in on her. She lay on the floor and stared at the ceiling while Mason kneaded her belly and purred. "I'm pregnant," she said aloud. "I'm going to be a single mom. It's real." She didn't want to be pregnant, which was slightly different from saying she didn't want the baby. At least she hoped it was. But somehow, she was going to have to figure out what she was doing. There were logistics. The single mom part bothered her. She was totally on her own. Oh, she could ask for help, and she had people who would be there, but it wasn't as if she was madly in love with the baby's father. Which reminded her that she was going to have to tell Chad at some point. And her father, and... She sat up and grabbed Mason. "I have to tell Stephen." Her cat blinked at her. She set him on the floor and groaned. "I can't. What am I supposed to say?" The truth seemed the obvious choice, but that wasn't going to happen. "Hi, Stephen. Just calling to let you know I'm pregnant with Chad's baby. How are you?" She had to tell him the truth, which meant losing him. Losing them. She covered her face with her hands and gave in to the tears. Crying turned to sobs as she thought about all she was about to lose. Stephen was everything she'd been looking for. He was a great guy. They could have... Mason rubbed against her and purred. She sniffed, then stroked him. "It's over," she whispered. "All of it. He's going to leave and I can't blame him. There's going to be a baby, Mason," he mewed, which she took to be a few cat words of support. She wiped her face. While she wanted to wait to tell Stephen the truth, she knew that was wrong. Better to just get it over with quickly, like ripping off a bandage. The pain would last a lot longer, but there was no avoiding that. She picked up her cell phone and called Stephen. He picked up on the second ring.
Hey, I was just thinking about you, he said. How was your first day of substitute teaching?
Her eyes filled with more tears as regret poured through her.
Stephen had remembered. Of course he would. He was a good guy, funny and kind and smart. He was good to his mom, handy around the house, and damn good in bed. How on earth was she ever going to find someone like him again?
It went okay, she said, hoping he couldn't hear that she'd been crying.
Look, Stephen, I need to tell you something. This thing between us, it's not going to work out. I'm sorry.
She had to swallow before she could keep talking.
It's not you. I know people say that all the time, but this time it's really true.
She sucked in a breath.
You're great. All of this has been amazing. I just can't see you anymore. I'm so sorry.
She hesitated, hoping he would say something, but there was only stunned silence.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best. Goodbye.
She ended the call, then looked at Mason.
I hate my life.
Mason meowed his agreement, then wound his way around her legs. She staggered to the sofa and sank down, just as the tears returned. She cried for what felt like forever, then forced herself to wash her face before boiling water for herbal tea. None of this was fair, she thought as she worked. She hadn't done anything wrong. She should probably get a lawyer and sue the hell out of the company that had messed up the shots, which all sounded really proactive and great, but didn't help right now. What was she going to do? How was she going to get through this? She should make a list, she thought. Figure out who she had to tell and when she was going to do that. She would work up to Chad because there was no way that was going to go well. Pregnant. She brewed her tea and tried to get excited about dinner. The headache was gone, thank goodness, but she still felt crappy. She was so not used to standing all day, and she already missed Stephen. She wanted to talk to him, to hold him, to see his smile. How long until that ache got better? She fed Mason, then sat down with her tea. She would make a plan, she told herself, figure out what steps she had to take and in what order. Then she would eat a salad with a lot of chicken for protein, then go to bed early. In the morning, she would take the first step. Until then, she got to feel sorry for herself. She was going to wallow in missing a wonderful man. There had been so much promise, she thought sadly. So much. Her doorbell rang. Zoe frowned as she wiped away tears. She wasn't expecting anyone. Maybe it was that guy from Publisher's Clearinghouse telling her she'd won $20 million. While the money wouldn't solve all her problems, it would help. She sniffed and walked across the living room. Stephen stood on her porch.
Chapter 15 Zoe's heart jumped, her breath caught, and she half expected to be imagining Stephen. But there he stood.
What are you doing here?
She asked, wondering how mad he was and if he was going to yell. Only he didn't look mad. Handsome, sexy, and maybe confused, but not mad.
I don't break up over the phone, he told her as he stepped into the house. I want you to tell me to my face, and I want to know why.
She would have sworn she didn't have any tears left, yet they filled her eyes and spilled down her cheeks.
I didn't want to, she blurted before she could stop herself. I had to.
He glanced around.
You're being held hostage, and if you break up with me, they release you?
There was no amusement in his voice.
Come on, Zoe, I deserve better than this. No one is making you do anything. What happened? I thought things were going well between us. I thought we had something. Was I wrong?
He was being rational, she thought. She might have been wrong about him being angry, but he wasn't letting his emotions control her. Instead, he was asking mature questions, like a grown-up. She closed the front door and walked over to the sofa. He followed and sat across from her. Humiliation burned, but there was no avoiding the truth. Not that he wasn't going to find out eventually. I'm on birth control, she said. I get a shot every 3 months. He frowned.
Okay. What does that have to do with anything?
She swallowed and knew she had to just spit it all out. then make sure she wasn't standing between him and the door so she didn't get mowed down when he bolted.
2 months ago, I had sex with Chad. It was after we broke up. It wasn't planned, and it was a mistake, but it happened. A couple of days ago, I got a call from my doctor's office. There was a problem with my last shot. The batch was bad or something. The bottom line is I wasn't protected, like I thought. She raised her chin. I'm pregnant with Chad's baby.
She pressed her lips together. There was no point in saying anything else. Stephen wasn't going to be around to hear it. Only as the silence stretched between them, she noticed he didn't seem to be moving. He looked at her.
And?
And what?
Why did you break up with me?
She raised both hands and let them fall into her lap.
I'm pregnant with Chad's baby. I didn't plan for this to happen, and I certainly don't want to have a baby with him. But here I am, doing it.
Are you getting back together with him?
What? No, of course not. Never. But I'm going to have to tell him at some point, and deal with him like forever.
Her stomach flipped over a couple of times, making her wonder if she was going to throw up. She drew in a breath.
You've decided to keep the baby, Stephen said.
She nodded.
My doctor said it was early enough for me to get an abortion, but I don't want to do that. As for adoption, that's not going to happen either. I'm having a baby.
Words she knew to be true, but still couldn't seem to grasp.
I'm sorry.
She ducked her head and told herself she wasn't going to cry again. She was going to hold it together, and then eat salad. Stephen crossed to the sofa and sat next to her. He looked into her eyes.
That's a lot.
She sniffed.
You okay?
He asked.
No, I'm not. I'm confused and scared, and I didn't want to mess things up this way. I liked what we had together. I thought...
Well, she couldn't say what she thought, because she wasn't sure. But there had been something special between them.
I'd hoped things would be great between us.
She told herself to be strong and brave, and that she would be rewarded, at least at some point.
You don't have to stay.
I'm going to ignore that last comment, he told her. Tell me if I understand this. You found out that you're pregnant with Chad's baby. You are sure it's Chad's?
I had an ultrasound. I'm 2 months along.
Okay. You had sex with your ex one time.
She nodded vigorously and held up a hand.
I swear, it was such a mistake. You have no idea how I regret it. No matter what, Chad and I are not getting back together.
I believe you. So you're going to have the baby and work out some kind of parenting plan with Chad?
Yes, on the baby, and I have no idea on the other part.
You broke up with me because you assumed I wouldn't want to be with you now.
She blinked away yet more tears.
Yes.
He stood and crossed to the other side of the room. Once there, he faced her.
Why didn't you just tell me what had happened?
I haven't told anyone. I don't know what to say. I was embarrassed and sad and upset.
I get that. Now I want to ask you a favor.
She waited.
He looked at her. Let me screw up before you decide I'm in trouble.
What?
You assumed I wouldn't want to stay together once I knew you were pregnant. You made the decision before me. But you have no idea what I'm thinking. Hell, I don't know what I'm thinking. But I do know this. I'm not walking away. I need to think about everything and figure out what I want. I need some time.
She, honest to God, couldn't believe what he was saying.
You're not running?
Not yet.
You might not run?
He smiled.
I'm thinking I could maybe handle this. I'm not sure. It's a lot to take in. But so far, it's not out of the question.
She told herself not to hope, that if she started to believe, it would hurt too much if he decided he was done. But she couldn't help feeling just a little bit better than she had before.
Take as much time as you need, she told him.
He returned to the sofa.
You said no one else knows. Who are you going to tell next?
My dad, I guess. Jen.
She thought about Pam and had a feeling Stephen's mother wouldn't be as understanding as her son.
I'll tell my mom,
he said, as if reading her mind. But let's wait a few days on her.
Thank you. I'm going to have to tell Chad, too. I'm not looking forward to that conversation.
I'll be there if you want.
Well, I appreciate the offer. I'm going to have to tackle that one on my own.
He took her hand in his. You're really strong.
I'm a mess. I can't stop crying, and I'm seriously bitter about the lack of coffee and alcohol in my life.
Want to go get dinner?
Yes, I'd like that a lot.
He smiled. Me too.
Jen got through the first 3 days of Lucas's stay by trying not to spend any time with him, a logistical challenge, given that he was in their house and she was the one mostly taking care of him. She was still wrestling with his drug-induced assessment of her and her life. While she wanted to defend herself and her actions, she kept coming up against the fact that he might have been telling the truth. By the end of the first week, they'd gotten into a routine. Lucas was able to join her and Jack for breakfast. Despite her concerns about him being inappropriate around her son, Lucas was only patient and attentive when it came to Jack. He talked to the boy, played with him, read to him, and in return, Jack adored him. More than once, Jack had insisted on giving Lucas his precious Pooh Bear for the night. Jen had managed to spend some time on the computer, researching depression and anxiety. She wondered if she was suffering from some form of both. Within a 2-year period, she'd gotten pregnant, lost her dad, had a baby, moved, and had to deal with her husband changing jobs. That was a lot for anyone. On her good days, she told herself there had to be a way out. On her bad days, she wondered if she was going to slip into madness. One of the bright spots of having Lucas around was that her panic attacks happened less frequently. Maybe it was knowing there was someone else in the house. Maybe it was that he provided a distraction. She wasn't concerned with the why, only the fact that she was able to get through more of the day without feeling like she was about to die. They spent mornings outside as much as they could. The late April weather was perfect, warm and sunny with the lightest of breezes. Jack drove around the patio in his car or played on the grass. Lucas sat in the shade, watching, talking some. He had more color and was only napping once a day. Basically, he went down when Jack did, a thought that amused her. She sat on the grass, letting the sun warm her back. Jack was in front of her with several trucks and some blocks. He carefully loaded the blocks and moved them around her to her other side, where they were dumped onto the ground.
"You have construction in your blood, little man," Lucas said, "like your uncle and your grandfather."
"How do you know about my dad?"
He winked.
"I know things."
Which meant Kirk had told them. She wondered what else her husband had shared, but was nervous about asking. Knowing Lucas, he would tell her the truth, something she was pretty sure she couldn't handle. His cell phone buzzed. He pulled it out of his sweatpants pocket and glanced at the screen. She thought it might be the visiting nurse, confirming her visit, but when he put it back in his pocket without answering, she knew it was someone else.
"Caitlin?" she asked.
He scowled.
"Leave me alone."
"You should let her visit you."
"You said no women."
"Oh, right, she had. She can come over, just don't," she glanced at Jack, "make noise."
"So we can do it, but we have to be quiet?"
She blushed. "I don't want Jack scarred."
"I didn't plan for him to be in the room. Besides, there's no way I'm ready for that right now. I'll see her later, or not at all."
"Don't you miss her? She's your girlfriend."
"She's a woman I date. There's a difference."
True enough. The lack of committed relationships in his life was the reason she'd insisted he stay with them.
"I don't mind if she comes by. There are other reasons to see a woman than that."
"Not many good ones."
He tilted his head.
"Present company excluded."
She laughed. "Oh, right, because I'm so dazzling to be with."
"You're actually pretty fun, when you're not hysterically imagining the worst."
She was about to snap at him when she reminded herself he was trying to get a rise out of her. She wouldn't give him the satisfaction. "I've been doing some research online. I might have anxiety."
"You think?"
The sarcastic tone made her bristle. She was about to snap back when he stunned her by saying,
"I'm sorry. That was rude. It's a reflex and not a good one.
Lucas apologizing? To her? It's okay.
It's not. I'd play the I'm wounded card, but why state the obvious?
He looked at her.
You have something going on, Jen. I'm sure you have some mental issues, but there's some physical stuff, too. Chemicals out of whack or whatever. You should see someone about it.
She was still stuck on his claim that she had mental issues. Oh, and I suppose you have a name?
Yeah, I do.
She opened her mouth, then closed it. Excuse me?
There are a couple of people who help out guys on the force when things get tough. It's a combination of traditional drugs with supplements.
I've already seen a crazy supplement lady, thank you very much. I don't need my hair analyzed.
Good, because these people don't do that. They run a bunch of blood work, talk to you, and then put together a program.
He jerked his head toward the house.
There's a card in my wallet on the dresser. Call them. They can help. They're used to dealing with cops and their significant others. They know what you're going through.
That's really nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now go call them. I'll watch the kid.
She hesitated a second before standing. I'll be right back.
When you've made your appointment, you can go buy me cigars.
She rolled her eyes. That is so not happening.
You need to learn how to have fun.
You need to accept your limitations. 10 days ago, you were shot. You're still on all kinds of drugs. Enjoy those while you can. Cigars. As if.
Killjoy.
Bite me. Oh, wait, I'm too old. He laughed.
I might be willing to make an exception.
Liar. His phone buzzed. She pointed to it. Answer it and tell her to come over. I'd rather have her in the house than a cigar. He grinned.
What if we make noise?
She walked to the house. I'm ignoring you. Totally and completely. The cold, gray, overcast day suited Zoe's mood perfectly. There wasn't rain, but the skies were not happy. The temperature was cool enough to require a jacket or sweatshirt. In her case, she'd chosen a bright pink Minnie Mouse one, thinking the adorable Disney character would brighten her mood. But despite her magical powers, there were some problems a high-heel-wearing mouse couldn't solve. Zoe sat on a bench by the carousel. Despite the fact that it was mid-afternoon on a Wednesday, there were plenty of people at the Pacific Ocean Park, mostly mothers with young children. Lots of mothers and even more children. Zoe had never paid much attention to them. They were part of the landscape. After Jen had had Jack, they'd come here, first with him in a baby carriage, and later with him in a stroller. In the past few months, he'd been big enough to ride one of the horses. Jen strapped him in carefully, then stood watch. Zoe had always thought she was being overprotective. Now she wondered how she would feel the first time her child came to the pup and rode a horse. She waited for a second, wondering if emotion would appear. There was nothing. It was like asking herself how she would feel if she lived in an African village that just got its first clean water well. She could imagine. She could pretend. She could fake it, but she couldn't actually know. Because it hadn't happened. At least not yet. She touched her stomach. From what she could tell, there weren't a lot of changes in her body. Her breasts might be a little more tender, and she felt more bloated than usual. But other than that, she was who she had always been, at least on the outside. On the inside, she had something the size of a lima bean that was going to change her forever. She hugged her arms to her chest, trying to find comfort in Minnie, then stood when she saw Jen approaching. She'd texted her friend and asked if they could meet. She was surprised when Jen had suggested mid-afternoon. It was usually Jack's nap time. Even more startling, Jen didn't have her son with her. Hi, Jen said as she hugged her. Are you okay? What's going on? You said you needed to talk. That was exactly what Zoe had said because announcing she was pregnant via smartphone seemed tacky. Where's Jack? The question was more a delay tactic than a request for information. Jen sat next to her and wrinkled her nose. You're not going to believe it. I barely believe it. She paused dramatically. I left him home with Lucas. What? I know, it's incredible. But he's down for his nap, and they adore each other. Lucas is getting around okay and swears he can get him up from his nap. I told Jack so he wouldn't be surprised, and he was fine with it.
Lucas? The same Lucas who dates 20-year-olds and just got shot?
That's the one. Her expression softened. I'm going to continue to shock you by saying I'm starting to like him. He's really a good guy hiding under his bad boy facade. He took 2 bullets for Kirk. I will owe him forever.
Jen looked like she was going to say more, then shook her head. Enough about me. What's going on?
Zoe angled toward her friend and drew a knee to her chest. There was no good way to say this.
A little over 2 months ago, I had sex with Chad.
She held up her hand. I know it was stupid, and I have no one to blame but myself. It was over, I got lonely, and I caved. Which would have been okay. Except I got a call from my doctor's office last week, and there was a problem with the batch of birth control shots I use.
She looked Jen in the eye. I'm pregnant.
Her friend stared at her. Oh, God.
I know. I've had an ultrasound. I'm 2 months along.
Jen blanched. Oh, God. Pregnant. With Chad's baby. Who knows? Have you told Stephen? Are you okay?
Yes, and I don't know.
When her friend looked confused, Zoe clarified. I'm okay, sort of. I'm still in shock and trying to take it all in.
Stephen knows.
He's not running, which I would do if I were him. He still might, but for now he's thinking about what this all means. A fact that made her grateful and on edge. Because every time her phone rang, she wondered if it was him breaking up with her. So far, he hadn't. She wasn't sure if the passage of time was good, or if he was simply putting off the inevitable.
Does my mom know?
Zoe shook her head.
Stephen's going to tell her.
Jen grimaced. That's not going to go well. That was what Zoe was afraid of, too. She considered Pam a friend, but with Stephen involved, she had a feeling that all bets were off.
Pregnant,
Jen breathed. Are you keeping the baby?
I have to.
She drew in a breath.
I know I could have an abortion, but it doesn't feel right. Not for me. There's no reason I can't have a child on my own.
What about Chad?
I haven't talked to him yet. I know I have to tell him, but it's not like he can do anything until it's born. I don't want him involved at all. In a perfect world, he would simply go away.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Zoe dropped her head to her chest. My luck isn't that good. I wish it were. I briefly thought about giving up the baby for adoption, but I doubt he would go for that. So here I am, unexpectedly expecting.
She looked at her friend.
What are you thinking? Are you mad?
Jen hugged her tight.
I love you. Why would I be mad?
She drew back and smiled.
I know this isn't about me, but I'm super thrilled that you're going to have a baby. I've been the only one of my friends with a kid. I think it will be fun to have that to share. I can tell you all about pregnancy and a newborn. I want to help however I can.
Zoe wasn't ready for any actual information, but knowing she had a supporter was a big help. What's next? Jen asked.
I'm going to go see my dad. Then I have to suck it up and tell Chad. I'm not looking forward to that.
You think he's going to want to be involved with the baby?
Zoe glanced toward the carousel and back. I know he is. He has a lot of flaws, but he loves his kids. Of course, maybe he just loves those two. Maybe he'll want to ignore mine. Wouldn't that be great?
Not having to deal with Chad would make things much easier.
I'm going to look online and find out what's involved with a father letting go of his parental rights.
If he doesn't want to do that, he's going to have to pay child support, Jen pointed out. That might scare him into going away, if that's what you really want.
Zoe held up a hand. I'm totally over him, I swear. I would like nothing more than to have him gone.
She would rather have to deal with her child on her own than have to work things out with Chad.
I'll keep my fingers crossed, Jen promised. Let me know how I can help. Lucas might know a good lawyer who can help if it comes to that, or some of my mom's friends. She knows a lot of people.
Jen hugged her again.
Poor you. What a mess. Just know that once you have your baby, it's all worth it.
Zoe hugged her back and hoped she was telling the truth.
Zoe left the pop and started for home. At the intersection by her house, she went left instead of right, then turned down another street and drove a mile into the older part of Mischief Bay. She parked outside her father's house and called on her cell.
Zoe, I was just thinking about you. How are you?
She had planned on saying she was fine. Of course, she was fine. She was. Unexpected tears burned in her eyes and her throat burned.
Dad,
was all she was able to get out.
What's wrong? Where are you? Zoe, have you been in an accident?
She shook her head, not that he could see.
I'm okay. I just... Can I come talk to you?
Of course. I'm home. Where are you? I'll come to you.
I'm out front.
She was going to say more, but there was a click, and she knew he'd disconnected the call. Seconds later, the front door opened and her father barreled toward her, Mariposa at his heels. He ran to her car and pulled open the driver's door.
What's wrong? He asked as he drew her to her feet. Are you hurt?
She gave in to the tears and hung on. Her dad was big and strong, and he'd always been there for her. She trusted he would be now, although she was terrified to tell him what had happened. What if he was mad at her? What if he rejected her? Her heart whispered that wouldn't happen, but irrational fear was stronger than love and common sense. Mariposa jumped up and down next to them, barking, as if also concerned. Zoe finally drew back enough to scoop up the little dog.
Group hug, she said, stepping close to her father again. The little dog tucked between them.
When she'd finally caught her breath, she sniffed, then wiped her face. Mariposa licked her cheek, as if offering her own kind of comfort.
I'm okay, Zoe said.
Let's go inside.
They walked into the house. She sank onto the living room sofa, Mariposa settling next to her. Miguel pulled up an overstuffed chair. He sat with his forearms on his knees, his gaze intense.
Tell me.
For the third time, she explained about Chad and the stupid sex and the failure of her birth control.
I'm sorry, Daddy, she whispered. I'm pregnant.
Her father groaned.
Is that all? I thought you were dying.
I'm perfectly healthy, but there's going to be a baby.
Miguel crossed to sit next to her.
A baby is a good thing. Look what you grew into.
That made her laugh. She angled toward him and leaned back into the corner of the sofa.
I'm scared, Dad, and confused. I don't want to deal with any of this, but I have to.
You're feeling okay?
I feel fine. No morning sickness, nothing. I feel stupid, but that's not the baby's fault.
You didn't do anything wrong.
I had sex with Chad. I knew better. I knew it was over. But he'd been calling and I caved. This is a really high price to pay for a moment of weakness.
You'll be fine. Who else knows?
Jen and Steven. I haven't told Chad yet.
You're going to have to.
I know. I just wish I didn't have to. It's one thing for me to have this baby on my own. It's another to have to deal with him.
Forever, she thought grimly. No matter what, for the rest of their lives, they would have to deal with their child. It was a horrible thing to consider.
You should marry him.
Zoe stared at her father.
Excuse me?
He got you pregnant. It's the right thing to do.
No way. You hate him. You said he was terrible for me and you were glad when we broke up.
That's true, but now you're pregnant. It's different.
This isn't 1880. I'm not marrying Chad.
She shuddered.
He was a horrible boyfriend. He would be a worse husband.
She narrowed her gaze. Don't you dare say that I should have thought of that before.
I wouldn't. I only want you to be happy. Zoe, being a single mother is going to be hard.
Mom did it.
You weren't an infant, and I was there.
I have support, too. I'll be fine.
Marry Chad. As if. Jeez.
I liked it better when you thought I was dying.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. What can I do to help?
Stop telling me to marry Chad. Other than that, just be my dad. I'm confused and scared, and I'm going to have a baby. That's a lot.
It is.
He sighed.
I can't even offer you a margarita.
Tell me about it. I have to give up coffee as well.
It's horrible.
He chuckled, then looked at her.
A baby. I'm going to be a grandfather.
She grinned. So much for the younger women. He waved his hand.
I gave them up years ago. Still a grandfather.
He laughed.
I like it.
Chapter 16. Pam tossed her phone on the sofa. She hadn't heard from Miguel in 3 days. They'd been texting regularly, and suddenly he'd gone quiet. She didn't know what to do with that information. Was he sick? Had he met someone else? Not that they were actually dating, so she shouldn't care who he was seeing. Although she had to admit she had been enjoying his company, more than she thought she would. Worse, she felt funny, unsettled, confused. She hadn't felt this way since she'd been 16 and had a mad crush on a boy who never noticed her. She was far too old to have those kinds of feelings. Maybe it was the flu. She got up and walked into the kitchen to check on the spinach dip she had heating in the oven. Stephen had called to say he wanted to stop by. Company business, she thought, as she put tortilla chips on a plate. She'd invited him to dinner, but he'd told her he couldn't stay. Still, she'd made snacks. She set out the chips, along with some cut-up fruit. She knew that Stephen worked out, and she was sure he tried to eat right, but she doubted he got any fruit at all. She buzzed him in shortly before 5 and met him at the door. Hi, she said, surprised he didn't have his briefcase with him. Aren't I signing papers?
What? No. This isn't about work.
She raised her eyebrows. Why not? He kissed her cheek.
Because everything at the office is fine.
Oh, then why was he here? He picked up a barking dancing Lulu and rubbed the side of her face.
How's my rocker chick girl? He asked. Feeling good? I like the shirt.
It was a lavender one, proclaiming Lulu as a hot babe. Probably not politically correct, Pam thought, but she liked it. They walked into the kitchen. Pam got Stephen a beer and poured a glass of white wine for herself. She pointed to the table. You must be hungry. He eyed the food.
You didn't have to go to any trouble.
I don't mind. It's nice to cook for someone. Her son hesitated a second before sitting down. When she was settled across from him, she sipped her wine.
So, what's up?
Time and practice allowed her to read her children fairly well. She could tell whatever Stephen wanted to talk about. It wasn't horrible, but he was nervous. If not work, then... Zoe, she thought, doing her best not to smile. Of course, they'd fallen in love. It was serious, and he wanted her to know. Well, it seemed a little quick, she wasn't surprised. They were great for each other. She'd guessed that from the start. Now that Zoe was over horrible Chad, she could get involved with Stephen. Maybe he wanted to get engaged. She would like another wedding in the family. Plus, with no mother of the bride, she could help. She'd love being a part of planning Jen's wedding.
It's about Zoe, Stephen began.
Pam did her best to wait patiently.
Uh-huh. I like her a lot.
I'm glad. She's lovely. Smart, kind. She and Jen have been friends for years.
I know.
He looked at her. For a second, she was reminded of how much he looked like John at that age. If only her husband was still with them, she thought, with a combination of love and pain. He would be enjoying all of this.
I see a lot of potential with her, he continued. I think she might be the one.
It's a little soon for that, isn't it? She said before she could stop herself. How well do you know her? I like her, and she's been Jen's friend forever, but you have to be sure before you jump in. Stephen grinned.
Oh, Mom, it's nice to know that some things never change.
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure you do. How you love to assume the worst about any situation. At least we all know where Jen gets her crazy from.
I'm not crazy.
I know.
He held up both hands.
I'm simply pointing out you go right for the worst-case scenario. And you know what? Sometimes things work out for the best.
She pressed her lips together but didn't speak. His smile faded.
For what it's worth, I'm going to take it slow with Zoe. I just want you to know she's important to me.
She liked all that he was saying, but there was still something.
What aren't you telling me?
He paused for a second and then said,
She's pregnant.
What? She nearly came out of her chair. Lulu looked up from her bed as if concerned there was a crisis. That's not possible. Did you do it the first day? What? Aren't you wearing a condom?
Mom, stop. You're not listening.
Pregnant? Are you sure? Pam felt her stomach drop. No, that wasn't possible. Zoe being pregnant so quickly would ruin everything.
It's not my baby.
Pam blinked. Not his.
No.
It's Chad's baby. She had sex with Chad? When? They were supposed to have broken up. Did she cheat on you?
Stop talking, he said gently. Let me finish before you start jumping to conclusions.
How can I not jump? She pressed her lips together. Fine, talk.
A couple of months ago, Zoe and Chad hooked up. It was a one-time thing.
He kept talking, explaining about a birth control shot gone wrong and an unexpected pregnancy. Pam listened, as he'd requested, but every new statement hit her like a slap. Zoe had told her that she'd had sex with her ex, but at the time Pam hadn't cared. Things were different now. Zoe was dating her son, and pregnant with another man's child. It was totally unacceptable. Is she keeping the baby? A ridiculous question, she thought the second she asked it. Of course she was. Otherwise, why would anyone need to know?
She is.
Of all the... Pam drew in a breath as a more horrifying thought occurred to her. Why did you tell me you liked her? You're not staying with her, are you? You can't keep seeing her.
Mom, he began.
No. Listen to me, Stephen. You don't need this kind of trouble. You don't want to have to deal with someone else's kid. Do you know how difficult that will be? Chad will be in your life every single day. You won't be able to escape him. You won't even be the baby's father. Chad will get his say, and you'll have to do whatever he wants. Plus, she slept with him once. How do you know she won't do it again?
Mom!
I'm simply pointing out she's obviously not as over him as we all thought. Who's to say she won't go back to him?
She won't.
So she says now. I don't like this, Stephen. It's not right. You deserve better. There was so much danger, she thought frantically. How could he not see that? He could be hurt, desperately hurt. Zoe and Chad would have all the power and Stephen would have nothing. He stared at her.
I thought you liked Zoe.
I do, but this is different. You're my son. She sensed he wasn't listening. Or if he was, he wasn't understanding. I'm serious. You don't need this kind of hassle. No one does. Walk away while you still can. Let her go. You'll find someone else. There are lots of attractive, smart women out there who would be thrilled with you. Her son's expression hardened.
Stop it. I mean it. I appreciate that you want to take my side in this, but you really need to stop talking before you say something we'll both regret.
What does that mean?
I'm not giving up Zoe. I meant what I said. I think we have something special and I want to see it through.
Even though she's pregnant with someone else's child? Even though you'll never really be that baby's father? Even with Chad in their past?
Yes.
You're wrong. I can't believe you don't see that. Stephen, listen to me. I know people who have divorced and remarried. It's never easy. There are always adjustment issues. Why would you sign up for that? You have to reconsider.
I don't.
He stood.
Mom, I knew you'd take it badly. I hoped I was wrong, but I see that I wasn't at all. Even so, I hoped for something else, something supportive. I guess that was my mistake.
Stephen! He put down his beer and walked out. Before she could go after him, she heard the door close, and he was gone. Jen shook the pills out onto her hand and paused before shrugging and downing them all with a big gulp of water. She'd been to see the specialist Lucas had recommended. She'd met with Alana, who had listened sympathetically, then arranged for blood work. While that was being processed, she'd started Jen on a mild anti-anxiety medication and some general supplements,
Nothing scary. Just normal, friendly-sounding vitamins with a few other things, all available at her neighborhood health food store, along with the single prescription. She'd also insisted that Jen drink at least 64 ounces of water a day, write down 5 things for which she was grateful, and spend 15 minutes sitting in a quiet room. Not meditation, Alana had insisted when Jen had rolled her eyes. Just quiet, so she could start to remember what it was like to listen to herself. None of the instructions were especially onerous or even surprising, yet after only a few days, Jen already felt different, slightly more in control and less panicky. She knew that the medication would take a few weeks to reach the proper dosage in her body, but she was happy to experience the placebo effect. Whatever worked. She put the orange juice container back in the refrigerator, then began clearing the kitchen table. Breakfast had become a bigger deal. Lucas could go all day without eating, but he did enjoy a big breakfast. Kirk would happily eat any kind of egg dish put in front of him, and Jack seemed to thrive on the extra male attention. With Lucas in the house, Jen no longer fed her son at his small table for breakfast and lunch. Instead, she used the high chair at the kitchen table. Lucas was happy to keep Jack company, like now. The two of them were hanging out in the sunroom, Lucas reading the paper while Jack played with one of his toy trucks. Jen could keep an eye on both of them from the kitchen. Kirk came in, dressed for work.
"I gotta go," he said. "Court this morning, then casework this afternoon."
She smoothed the front of his dress shirt, required attire for a court appearance.
"Have fun."
He kissed her, then pulled her into the walk-in pantry.
"How are you doing?"
he asked, his voice low.
"It's been a couple of weeks. Lucas says things are fine, but what do you think?"
She smiled. "I'm good. Seriously, it's okay having him around. I'll admit I was nervous, but he's pretty low-key. Now that he can move around on his own, he's a big help with Jack, and I enjoy the company." Lucas was brutally honest. While she didn't always like what he had to say, she had to admit he usually had a point, and the referral to Alana had worked out. Kirk kissed her again.
"Should I be worried that you two are getting along so well?"
She laughed. "He's not my type, and you know it. Besides, even if I was pining, I'm way too old for him." Her husband chuckled.
"He might make an exception for you."
"As if." She put her hands on his shoulders. "I swear you have nothing to worry about. I'm feeling better, and that's plenty for me."
"Good. I'll see you tonight."
He left. Jen finished in the kitchen, then made all 3 beds before returning to the front of the house. She walked into the sunroom. A square throw rug covered the tile floor. There were large windows that could be opened to allow in a cross breeze, or removed completely in the summer. Rattan furniture, covered with thick cushions, gave the space a tropical feel. Jack sat on the rug while Lucas was in the chaise, closest to the open play area.
"You have a doctor's appointment today,"
she reminded Lucas as she sat in one of the chairs. He groaned.
"I don't want to go."
"That's mature. We need to leave in an hour."
She eyed the sweatpants and t-shirt he'd taken to wearing. Both were easier for him to manage as he recovered.
"Did you want to get changed? I guess I could help."
"I'm not your kid. I can dress myself."
"Someone has attitude this morning."
Lucas was normally pretty even-tempered. Even when he was in pain or telling her what exactly was wrong with her, he never snapped, didn't yell.
"Are you concerned that he'll want you to start physical therapy?" she asked. "I don't mind driving you."
He turned his cold green gaze on her.
"I'm perfectly capable of driving myself."
"Uh-huh." Jen had her doubts about that. Lucas's leg was still healing. There was no way he was going to get into that ridiculous car of his. If he thought he was ready to drive, did he think he was ready to be on his own? She thought about all he could now do by himself, the day nurse no longer visited, and he didn't need Kirk's help to get in and out of the shower. He was down to over-the-counter pain meds, except at night. So what was the problem?
"Do you want to leave, or are you worried I want to kick you out?" she asked,
deciding to be as blunt as he had been with her.
"Both."
Funny how it was the first time she thought maybe he was lying to her. Which meant what? She knew that if Lucas wanted to go, he would be gone, which left her only one option.
She walked over to the foot of his chaise and sat down.
Lucas, I like having you here.
Okay, at first I only invited you because I was grateful for what you did, but it's different now. You're so good with Jack, and while your advice isn't exactly gently delivered, it's usually dead on. Stay as long as you want. I mean that.
His mouth twisted.
With no cigars and no women? I don't think so.
She laughed. Until they become a more pressing need. Don't worry about it. You're good for Jack and you're good for me.
Thank you.
He cleared his throat.
Why haven't you gone back to work? It's past time. What are you waiting for? There's nothing wrong with your kid.
And just like that, her warm fuzzies evaporated. You really have to work on your bedside manner.
I'm the one who was shot, not you.
You've been playing that card a little too long.
Answer the question.
She wanted to say she didn't have to, but instead told herself that it was easier to talk to him about this kind of thing than nearly anyone else. I still worry about Jack, he groaned.
Give it up.
I can't. He's my son.
You hover. The kid doesn't talk because you anticipate his every need. Next.
Would it be horribly wrong to slap him? I don't want to put him in daycare. I visited a couple of them and they're awful. I asked my mom if she would look after him, but that didn't go well.
What a surprise. You mean she doesn't want to give up her life to take care of your child? Shocking. You should disown her. Why even have a mother if she's going to act like that?
Sarcasm doesn't suit you.
Sarcasm suits everyone.